Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 7, As we continue on in this series in the book of Luke, I love the stories because we're following Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we are seeing how different people react, and we're seeing how he deals with different people and how he looks at different people and how he responds. One of the resources I have for this for the book of Luke is something called Journey with Jesus. And this journeying with Jesus is just a kind of interesting way of looking at it. We're journeying through Jesus' life here, journeying through day-to-day activities that happen in the book of Luke. And there's a lot of things we can just learn that we have misconceived or pre-notions about how Jesus would respond to things, how Jesus would respond to people. And this is how we should respond. And today, when we look at this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of things that we can learn from it. We're going to jump right into the passages of Scripture. We're going to give you some commentary in it, and then we're going to preach the message, the forgiven woman, the forgiven woman. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36. And the Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired that him that he would eat with him." So this Pharisee's name is Simon, and he asked Jesus to come and eat with him and share a meal with him. Now, what do we know about the Pharisee so far in the previous six chapters is that the Pharisees have given Jesus a very hard time. They've been very hostile to him. Actually, Luke mentions Pharisees or about the Pharisees 28 different times, and every single time it talks about them being hostile. The Pharisees were someone who would like to complain. They were someone who liked to watch Jesus, and then when they came to hear Jesus, they weren't coming to hear to see whether or not they could learn something. They were coming to find fault. They were looking, and they were examining everything he said, everything he did, and they weren't trying to get right. They weren't trying to learn what they were. They were trying to find fault, and they were trying to be critical of him, and they always asked him questions, not to try to learn, but to try to trip him up. You ever know someone that's like that? Somebody who's just trying to cause fault and asking and looking instead of looking for help. Instead, they're looking so that way they can accuse you. And that's why I believe that this man asked Jesus to come. He didn't come to dinner so that way he could honor Jesus. He didn't come to dinner to learn of Jesus. He desired that Jesus could eat with him so that way maybe he could watch him and find something at fault with him so he could expose him in a sense for being a fraud. But let's look here. It says, "And when one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." And this might sound kind of strange in our society today. In our society today, I invite you over to dinner. More than likely, you're going to come to dinner, you're going to sit, and you're going to eat, and no one else is going to be there. But back in that society, in that day, people would come in and sit quietly or stand quietly against the wall just so they could understand what was going on so they could see. They wouldn't eat, but there were strangers that would walk into the house, neighbors, other things, especially with someone like Jesus being there and this Pharisee, Simon, being well-known, people would come in just to see what was going to happen. And when you invite Jesus to dinner, there's always going to be something exciting that's going to happen, especially when it's at the Pharisee's house. And you see, let's keep on going. So this woman comes and says, which was a sinner. That word sinner, if you look at the way it's derived, that is someone who is currently involved in, was someone who was a great sinner, someone who was always sinning, that type of thing. A very, very wicked person. Most commentators, most historians believe that it's reference to this woman being a prostitute or a harlot type. And it says, "And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." Now, this alabaster box of ointment is probably the most precious thing in this city. It's something that's very expensive, something that people many times will save up until the day that they die. They spend and they save this up for the day of their burial. This woman brings this to Jesus. And it says in verse 38, "And stood at his feet behind him weeping." So this woman comes and it's weeping. And it's the idea, this word weeping is a reference, not just some little bit of tears. It's actually like a storm, a rain, like a storm of tears that this woman is just weeping. "And began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head." Now remember, back in that custom, in that daytime, most of the time that the ladies would wear their hair up, so she would have to take her hair down in order to wipe the hairs of her, wipe the feet, and kiss his feet. This word kiss, if you go back into the Greek, you'll see it's a continual kissing, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, once again, his name is Simon, you're going to see that in a little while, which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, once again, he doesn't say this out loud, he's outraged. He thinks this woman is despicable, probably knows this woman, once had nothing to do with this woman, can't believe this woman came into his house. He held his tongue, but doesn't matter if you hold your tongue, Jesus knows your thoughts. Remember that. Jesus knows your thoughts, so let's make sure our thoughts are right. And it said here, now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, so he's questioning this, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. So what Simon's saying here is like, I would never touch this woman. I would never be anywhere near this woman or anywhere close to this woman. And if Jesus was really truly who he said he was, this great prophet, he would know who this woman was. The great thing is Jesus does know who this woman is. Jesus sees her heart, but Jesus also sees Simon's heart. And he's going to try to, as Simon was trying to expose him, instead Jesus is going to expose Simon here. Verse number 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, it's kind of he's answering what the guy thought in his heart. Answering him said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He's asking for permission to speak. And notice how Simon responds, and he saith, Master, he calls him Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he had forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. So Jesus is trying to teach Simon something here. Jesus is a master teacher. He's always trying to teach things to the people. He's this woman here who has been forgiven of her sins and is responding because of the love he has for that she has for Jesus. He's not really interested in her at this moment in time. He points to Simon and says, look, I got a story for you. I like Jesus' parables because they're simple. They're easy to understand. And in this understanding, it says, look, there's two guys, one who owes 50 pence, one who owes 500 pence. And this idea of pence is referring to a day's wage. So it would take somebody 50 days to pay him off or 500 days to pay him off, but the bill has become due. The creditor is owed this money. He wants to get paid. And he says that they frankly forgave them both. To give you a little short clue of what's going on here, this is a representation that God, that God is the creditor and that we are the sinners. And even though some have maybe sinned not as much as others, none of us can pay for our own sin debt. So when we ask Christ to save us, he frankly forgives us all. Whether we've been someone who some would call a great sinner or not as great of a sinner, it doesn't really matter. None of us can pay for our own sin debt. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to cover the sins of all. You know, it takes the same amount of mercy and grace and blood to cover the sin debt of a person who that the world would say was a sinner, but everybody else would say this other person maybe not as bad. You know, it doesn't matter. He's teaching them, look, Simon, let me help you understand this. You need me. You might not think you need me, but you need me. And as we all need Jesus Christ. But then he goes a little bit farther. Verse number 44, and he turned to this woman. And you can see back then in the Bible times that what they would do is they would recline on couches when they ate. And they would kind of just be sitting there and their feet would be to the back of them. And that's where this woman was. And Jesus turns his attention to the woman, but continues to speak to Simon. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house and thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, in this story that Jesus is saying to him here, look, Jesus is not whining. Jesus is not complaining, saying, well, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? You didn't treat me right. No, he's teaching him something. He says, look, and back in there was customary. It was customary that either the master of the house or a servant would wash the the guest's feet. They would be greeted with a kiss. They would be anointed with a little bit of oil. All those different things was customary that would happen back then in that time period. So when Jesus is saying to him, look, those things that you would do with any regular guest, you just chose not to do them. It was insulting in a sense. Is Jesus insulted? No, he's not. He doesn't bring it up until this woman, he's teaching them a lesson here. So what's the lesson? Simon here isn't really interested in bringing Jesus over to learn and spend time with him. That's why I think he's been hostile here. If he really had a love for God, if he really had a love for Jesus, if he really had an opportunity to want to learn and grow and recognize Jesus as the Messiah, he would have washed his feet. He would have greeted him with a kiss and he would have anointed him like he would have done for anybody else. But Simon thinks he's too good for that. So Jesus brings back this story and says, look, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And she understands that she has been forgiven and that the type of woman she was. And she understands that she was a sinner. And because she knows what God has done for her, because she knows what Jesus, the Savior, was going to do for her, she loved him much. But to those that don't even realize they're sinners, they're not going to love him as much. Let's keep on going. Verse number 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Verse 49, and they that sat at meat were with him began to question within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Remember back, I think it was Luke chapter number 5, talked about how he told the man that was they lowered down and he healed, thy sins be forgiven. He says, only God can forgive sins. And that's right. Jesus is God. And that Jesus in the form that God took on the man become, and that's who Jesus was. And he is doing this in front of them so they will know he is saying that he is God. Verse number 50, and we'll get right into the message. And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. It's kind of interesting here. When Jesus wants to teach Simon a lesson, what does he do? He shows him her service. When Jesus wants to send her away in peace, what does he do? He reminds her of her faith. The woman was not forgiven because she cried. The woman was not forgiven because she kissed his feet. The woman was not forgiven because of the fact that she anointed him with that ointment. The woman was forgiven because of her faith in God. This morning when we look at this, the forgiven woman, I want to encourage you to ask yourself, which one are you acting most like? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. As we open up your word, there are so many lessons that we can learn and teach. I pray you give the right words that you once said to this group of people at this moment in time. Lord, speak to hearts in a special way. Help us not to act like that Pharisee, but instead help us to act like that woman who understood what Jesus was able to do for her and was willing to worship her, even in a hostile environment, didn't care what others would think, but was willing to serve him and worship him. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first thing I want you to see, you're going to look at our three main points being the three main characters. The first one is the scorning Pharisee. The scorning Pharisee. The word scorning means the feeling or belief that someone or something is worthless or despicable. Contempt. A feel or express of contempt or derision for an individual or a group of people. You say, why do you call him scorning? Because he despised this woman. He wanted nothing to do with this woman. In my mind, I think he had contempt for Jesus too, because they would follow him around. He would ask him to his house under the guise of having a meal and maybe getting to know him. But instead, he doesn't treat him like a common visitor in his house. Instead, he treats him badly and doesn't really even care. There's two things here I want you to see about this Simon, the scorning Pharisee, that I think will help us understand a little bit about him. The first thing was he had the wrong view of God. He had the wrong view of God. You say, where do you see that? Well, the first thing he said in that point, he says, if he were a prophet, he questioned who Jesus was. He wasn't trying to learn if he was truly the Messiah. He said, hey, I found it. If he was really this prophet, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. And Jesus knows his heart. So if we really, truly have, if we're going to have the right view of God and not be a scorner, we got to understand that Jesus and God is who they say they are. He says in verse number 39, if he were a prophet, this man, if he were a prophet, he thought he exposed him. He thought, now I can tell all my friends. Now I can tell all the other Pharisees, all the other scribes, this guy is a phony. He doesn't even know who this woman is. Second thing is, not only did he have the wrong view of God and the idea he was a prophet, the second thing that he had a mixed up view and thinking that he thought that God would not love this woman. See, I think sometimes we come to this spot, we like to pick and choose who we think God's going to love, and we like to pick and choose who we think God's going to work with and who God's going to use. And there are sometimes in our hearts and our mind where we look at people and say, you know what? God's not going to use that person. God wouldn't love that person. God wouldn't care about that person. You know, that's what he's doing here. He says, if he were a prophet, if he truly was the Son of God, if he could really forgive sins, he would have nothing to do with that woman. I want you to understand, and this Pharisee, and this scorning Pharisee, he held sinners in contempt. He thought they were disgusting. He wanted nothing to do with them. And what a mess there. But see, there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. There's a little bit of Pharisee in us, and we think that, hey, that person isn't really worth telling the gospel to. That person is too far gone. Maybe that person lives in the Middle East area and countries that are Muslim, and they're never going to be reached. There's no sense sending Christians or Bibles over there. God wouldn't love those people. We would never say that, but that's how we act sometimes. And that's what this Pharisee is sitting in his heart. He can't even believe this woman entered into his house. He wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street that this woman would. He despised this woman because she was a sinner and because of her occupation. And he says, there's no way God could love a woman like that. But the reality is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Sometimes people are so wrapped up in racism and wrapped up in how much money they make or not make, and they get wrapped up in, we forget the point that every single person is a soul, and is a soul that God loves. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He had the wrong view of God. He was a scorner because he had the wrong view of God, but he also was a scorner because he had the wrong view of self. You know, he thought he was better than this woman. He thought because of the fact he did all those little fancy rituals and all these fancy religious things that he had earned more favor with God than this woman. And the reality of the matter was, if Simon really truly knew and had the right view of God, he would have been right down there next to that woman worshiping Jesus. He had the wrong view of God, and because he had the wrong view of God, he had the wrong view of self. If Simon would have known the man or a man Jesus was, he would have been right there beside her, worshiping and anointing him and praising him. But no, instead, he sits in a place where he views he can judge God. He can judge Jesus. He can watch Jesus. He has a wrong view of God, but he also has a wrong view of himself and thinking, I don't need God. And people have come to this realization where they think, hey, I don't really need God in my life. I can work enough to get to heaven. I can earn my way to heaven. I can do all these good things. And that's what this man was saying. I'm justified because of all the things I've done. But Jesus is trying to teach him an example. This woman came to worship Jesus, but Jesus uses this woman to expose this man unto himself, saying, you don't even know yourself. Second thing I want you to see is not only the scorning Pharisee, but I also want you to see the sinful woman. The sinful woman. See, I believe she had the right view of God. Say, well, how can she have the right view of God and not Simon? Well, in this story, it says that her sins are forgiven. And this story says her faith has saved her. So she has the right view that we need to get to God. We need to ask Jesus Christ to save us. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. She has the right view because only God can save us. The second thing I want you to see, because I know many people in this room are Christians and they're on their way to heaven. I think there are some that may be confused and some that really need to understand. It's not about good works. It's not about anything I've done. It's about Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says, for he that hath the Son hath life. He hath not the Son hath not life. It's about putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And not only does he have the right view in the fact that only Jesus can save her, but she also says, I think he's worthy of worship. I think he's worthy of worship. I think he's worthy of praise. No, nowhere in this passage of Scripture does it say this woman said anything. That would have been breaking the rules. She doesn't. But does anybody question the fact that she loved him? No. Of course not, because she demonstrated it with her actions. No one questions her love. She never said a word. She didn't have to, because she showed him her love. She showed him her love. There are people who say that they love Jesus, but then their lives show something completely different. The oil that they usually anointed people with when they came in the house was one of the cheapest things in all of Palestine. The ointment was the most expensive thing in Palestine. Simon would not even do the least for Jesus, but this woman was willing to do the most. She said, if Jesus was going to be at meat there, I want to be where Jesus is at. I want to be there so I can worship him and so I can praise him. And even though this Pharisee is not going to give him the treatment he deserves, I know who he is and he has forgiven me. I am going to praise him and I am going to worship him and I'm going to give him my best. And the third thing, you think about it, not only did she know that he needed for salvation, that he deserved worship, but she was willing to go anywhere. Just like Simon did not want her at his house, this woman would have never went into his house on her own. This woman would have said, that man despises me. That man probably would throw me in jail or that man would have me done whatever to. But this woman goes into a hostile environment and she worships God. I want you to understand she has the right view of God here because she knows that only God can save her and she knows that God deserves worship and God deserves praise. It's not even with only our mouths, but with our actions. This woman was known to love Jesus because of her responses, but she went in an environment that was uncomfortable. I want to encourage you today that no matter where you're at, it's not about you. It's about worshiping God. Even in areas that might be a difficult place to worship at, like your work. Even sometimes in some homes, it's hard to worship God and it's hard to live for God. But you can still worship him. Why? Because you have the right view of him. You know that he's the one that saved you and he's worthy of your worship. And even though sometimes it might be around people who really aren't going to appreciate it, it might be in areas and spots where people might criticize Jesus or be critical of him. That's what Simon's house was. He wasn't there to try to learn of him. He was there to criticize and try to trip him up. This woman says, I don't care. I'm going to go and I'm going to sit at his feet and I'm going to worship him and I'm going to give him my best. Where Jesus was, that's where I want to be. That's the heart I want. And if I get the right view of God, it's not going to matter what anybody else says or does. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I can still worship him. I can still praise him. I can still go even into hostile environments and say, he is God. He is worthy of my worship. He is worthy of my best. She had the right view of God, but I think she had the right view of God is because she had the right view of self. The Bible says here, the representation that Jesus gave in verse number 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. She knew that she was a sinner. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 11 if you like to. Matthew chapter number 11, you have the same story. Once again, the story about the woman's only found in Luke. But you'll see the similarities in the story, the same sermon. They're coming and John's disciples came and John and he preaches and teaches about John. And then at the end of his message, and I believe the woman was there for this message because in the sermon that we learned last week, that he was speaking to the multitudes. And at the end of the message, if you took time to read, I'll read one verse just to show you what I'm talking about. In verse number 16, it says, but whereunto shall I, Matthew 11, 16, and but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's like unto the children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. Remember, that was the same things we talked about last week. This is the same time, the same moment. He says, even, you know, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil, and the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man is gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. So then he began to upbraid, and this portion is not mentioned in Luke, but this woman is. But look at that end of that message. Look what it says in verse 28 to 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now picture this woman. Picture this woman sitting and listening to Jesus. Picture a woman that is scorned by society. A woman who's been used and abused by so many men over the years. A woman who probably was rejected by all, most women, if not all women in that area, a woman that was looked down upon. And she is sitting and she is listening to Jesus preach. She is listening to Jesus teach. And it says these words, come unto me. What a wonderful phrase. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Imagine she's there and Jesus is saying, even to this woman that was a sinner, a great sinner, look, you can come unto me and I can give you rest. I don't know about you, but I can imagine this woman who all her life is probably looking for peace and looking for rest and cannot find any. She hears this man and she sees this man. Once again, what happened also last week, he went and he healed all those people. Remember, he showed John's disciples all these things. She's watching all this unfold. She's watching all this happen. And then she hears, come unto me. And now she's probably thinking while she's watching Jesus heal the people that that's only for the people that are really good. That's only for the people that that believe in God and do all the right things. That's only for John the Baptist and his disciples. And then at the end of the message, he says, come unto me. He says, I will give you rest. This is a message. This is an outreach to every single person. Look, if you'll just come unto Jesus, he can give you rest. And she probably thinks, man, I've never had good rest for years. I've been living in this misery of being bound by this sin, and I feel horrible about what I'm doing. And she gets it right. You say, well, why do you think she gets it right? Well, Jesus, and back in Luke chapter number 7, he says, wherefore I said unto her sins, which are many, are forgiven. I believe she had already, in a sense, put her faith and trust in Jesus, and she had already found peace and made peace with God, and she believed in Jesus being the Messiah, and that's why she came to worship. She saw what God had done for her. She saw the change that God had made, and that's why she came into that hostile environment, and that's why she began to weep, and that's why she began to say, hey, Jesus, I know what you've done for me, and I love you. I don't care who sees. I'm going to give you my best. You deserve this worship. You deserve this praise. And I'm never going to forget what you've done for me. I wonder if that's the view we have of ourselves. Do we feel like Jesus deserves our best? Do we feel like he deserves our worship? She knows she owed it all to him, and she wasn't going to forget it. And now she was able to depart in peace, something she probably knew, had not known for years. Christian, today, if we have the right view of God and the right view of ourselves, we will be on our knees worshiping him and saying, Lord, you deserve what is best. Lord, you deserve all praise and honor because I could not have done this on my own. I'm going to serve you because I love you. She loved him much. She loved much. I tell you, when I do something for the Lord, it's not because I feel obligated to like the Pharisees. When I put an offering in, it's not because I have to. When I get the opportunity to preach, it's not because I have to. When I get an opportunity to witness or help somebody else, it's not because I have to, it's because I love him. And if I love him much, I'm going to worship him like this. You know, it's if someone's going to have to force you to come to church, you're coming for the wrong reasons. Our work and our service and our sacrifice should be the exact same reason this woman was. We realize that we were a sinner and we realize we've been forgiven much and we realize we're on our way to heaven and we're going to love much. And all the things I do is not for anybody else, not to be a men pleaser. I do it because I love him. It's hard sometimes to understand. It's hard to understand why some people get grumpy serving the Lord. This woman reminds us we need to have the right view of ourselves. It is all about him. And as I worship him, you know what? I'm not going to care. I love him. And I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to read my Bible because I love him. I'm going to pray to him because I love him. I'm going to memorize because I love him. Now, is it sometimes difficult? Yes. The devil's going to try to stop you, but you love him more. He loved us much. Sometimes I think we forget where he saved us from and where he saved us to. And because we forget that, we don't love him like we should. First thing I want you to see is the scorning Pharisee. The second thing is the sinful woman. The third thing I want you to see is the saving deity. The saving deity. There's just a couple of thoughts here. First thing that kind of popped in my mind is after I studied for a little while and realized that Simon wasn't really inviting him over for a friendly dinner, it was a hostile environment. Why would Jesus go? Would you really go to someone's house you knew hated you or held you in contempt? Would you go to someone's house that you knew that they're going to try to question you and listen to every word you said and hung on that so that way they can expose you because they think you're a fraud? Doesn't sound like it's going to be a very happy dinner party, does it? No, it doesn't. Why would Jesus go to this man's house in the first place? He was a scorning person. He was a Pharisee. He was trying to do nothing but harm Jesus. It's because he loved him. See, sometimes I think we miss this point is that, you know, we look at all the wicked, really, really, really bad people and say, well, that's who needs Jesus. But Simon needed Jesus just as much as that woman did. That woman knew she was a sinner and she knew she needed some help. Simon didn't even realize that he was a sinner. And sometimes we got to get to this point and understand that Jesus came to die for everybody. For those that think that they're self-righteous, to those that know that they're living in sin. They all need a Savior. And what I love about the story is that Jesus enters into an environment that is hostile. Why? Because he loved him. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why does this woman love Jesus so much? It's because he first loved her. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. The Bible says we did not seek after God. He sought after us. The Bible says we didn't go looking for him. He came seeking us. The Bible says for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We should love him because he first loved us. He's the one that pursued after us. Think about what it says in Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth God. There is none that seeketh after God. John 6:44, no man come unto me except the Father which have sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You got to understand that we didn't go looking for him, but he came looking for us. He loved us. He sought us out. I don't know in your relationships and your marriage, but usually there's one that is the pursuer. There's one that tried to get you to get their attention, the one who left you notes, the one who wanted to have you and wanted to know you and wanted to love you and went after you and did everything they could to show and demonstrate their love. And that's what God did for us. We can love him so much because he first loved us. He pursued after us. He saw our need. He died on the cross because of our need. And he sends his Holy Spirit of God to convict us and to convince us and to show us that we have a need. Simon didn't see that, but the saving deity knew that Simon needed it just as much as that woman that was weeping. Christian, today I want you to understand the reason why he went into that house was because he loved them. The reason why God brings things into your life is because he loves you. He doesn't want to see you head and go to a horrible place called hell. The reason why God let circumstances, the reason why God somehow orchestrated the fact that you're sitting here today was because he loved you and he wants to see you saved. He knows that you need to be saved and he has a compassion and a love for you and he knows that there is no other way to heaven. And then you see the next thing is not only why would he go, the saving deity go to Simon's house, but why would he save a woman that was so wicked? I want to remind you, this woman was not saved because of her tears. You don't have to cry when you get saved. I remember as a boy, I remember my reactions, and I don't remember shedding one tear. But I was under some deep conviction that day, that night. Some do cry. Some do get emotional. Some jump up and say, praise the Lord. But then there's others who are just as sincere that have made a decision. You know what? God changes the life. And you see the changed life. But this woman didn't get saved because of her tears. This woman didn't get saved because she brought the best gift. This woman didn't get saved because she kissed Jesus when Simon wasn't willing to. The Bible says this woman, in verse number 50, he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. It was the faith that she had in God. It wasn't about anything she did because she didn't do anything righteous. She hadn't lived a life that would have been good works. You say, well, if you do a good enough good works, you get to go to heaven. She says, no, this woman's sins were forgiven. This woman's faith had made him heal. And she had only done one good work? I don't think so. It's because she had faith in God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith that you're saved. It's by grace through the faith you have in him. Think about what it says. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is our Savior. He is God. And we need to put our faith and trust in him. That's what this woman understood. And that's why this woman can go away in peace. Simon wasn't in peace because he did not know the Savior. I mentioned it earlier, a Schofield that said this. When the Lord wanted to justify the woman in his eyes of Simon, he looked at her works. But when he wanted to send the woman away in peace, he looked at her faith. So what does that mean? God's looking at our hearts today. He knows. Just like he knew when Simon, he says he wanted to answer him. He wanted to answer what Simon thought in his heart. I thought that was great. He wanted to answer him. He knew what he was thinking. He looked at Simon's heart. Simon, I see in your heart that you don't know me, you don't love me, that you don't believe that I'm the Messiah. But in this woman's heart, I see her faith. Simon, you've done all these works. All these works mean nothing when I look in your heart. But when I look in this woman's heart, I see sins that are forgiven, and I see her faith that she has in me. Do you have that type of faith today? And if you do have that type of faith, is your description, for she loved much, does that describe you? Of course I love God. The Bible says if you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. If you love God, you're going to demonstrate that. It does not earn your salvation, but because of a love you have for him, you're going to show that love. This woman did not have to say that she loved Jesus. It was shown. Not one person there would have said, hey, that woman doesn't care about that man. They would have said, that man means something to that woman. And I'm wondering, in our lives, do we show that Jesus means something to us? Do we love him much? He deserves it. He saved us the same way he saved that woman. We're not headed to hell because of him. Do we love him like that? Today, check your hearts. Check your attitudes when it comes to service. And the reason why we serve him is because we love him. The reason why we love him is because he first loved us. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close.